Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go.
Cheers.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binge Town TV. Today, we have an extra special guest. There will be three voices on the podcast tonight. We've got me, Kathleen. We've got Julia, returning host. And we've got special guest, Margaret, who is a best friend of the pod and also sister-in-law to Julia and also to me as well. You know, that's how it goes.
By association.
Today, we're talking episode 10, season 45, How Am I the Mobster? Now, I'm going to throw it to Margaret so you can listen to a voice that's not ours for once. And she's going to tell you about her survivordom and how she's seen way more seasons than us. So go ahead. What's up, girl?
Well, hi. I'm so excited to be here. This has been a long time coming, as you both know, and I'm sure every listener knows. I've been here in the ether, whether they knew me or not. But my survivordom, season one, obviously life-changing. I was probably in sixth grade? Was it 2000?
Something.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, something like that. Like, sounds that. Right. Who's to know?
Richard, the first naked man I ever saw. Not that I saw him actually naked, but that was jarring. I don't think my parents knew what they were signing up for when they let us watch. And I remember Q102 played a Livin' La Vida Loca Searching for Tapioca remix. That was fun.
I don't know what that is, but
me neither.
You never watched season one?
No, only Alex has.
Alex is the only one.
I don't think I knew this.
I've seen a few episodes with her, and it cemented that I'm not going to watch that anytime soon. It's just so grainy. It's so crazy.
Yes, and it's a totally different show and game.
The graphics aren't good enough for you. The quality's not good enough.
All of the challenges are made with twine and wood. Jeff chiseled it himself out of soap. And stuff like they couldn't afford it.
It was great. I mean, it wasn't great. It was what it was. But there was a woman who tapioca was like the coconuts of that season, like the thing they could find in the forest to eat. And she just kept going searching for tapioca. And she had this really grainy voice. I don't even know where her accent was from. Maybe
it
was Boston.
Okay.
And so Q102, Philly peeps represent. Q102 would play Livin' La Vida Loca, but it would cut from Ricky Martin. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay, I just brain farted. To her going up searching for tapioca. And it was
amazing. She singing it on the island?
They just had somebody doing an impression Auto-tune. Of her voice. Yeah.
Listen, this is the marketing they need now.
Yes. That was when it was
relevant.
Monoculture.
Yeah.
Everyone in the world was watching this
show.
It was
totally.
The first reality show. And then anyway, very into it for probably my middle school seasons. So the first three, four, and then lost it in high school, most of college. Came back to it post-college when I met a group of friends in New York who were still hardcore into it and used to sing the theme song on the bus, on their way to school. They were psychos. Some of them have applied every single year. One went on his honeymoon to Fiji to take a video on the beach, and his wife did the wrong recording angle. Wasn't good.
Amateur move.
Anywho, they got me back into it. We started a league, and it started pretty small, probably six or seven of us. And then it grew to a sizable enough amount that there was real money on the line. And now it's just spiraled out of control. And you're both part of it. Alex is part of it. I've made my husband join, my cousin joined, a random friend of mine from college's high school friend who I saw on Instagram post about Survivor.
I invited him.
You're like, slide to the DM.
Questionable decision in retrospect. I've hosted some virtual Survivor games back in the early COVID days. I ran
Let's do that again.
A whole, yeah. Oh, it was wonderful. I was the host, which was my favorite part. And then I was a player and it stressed me out too much. And I learned a lot about myself and how I would fare on a season.
Sure.
Oh, boy.
I think I am a merge girl, a media jury.
Okay. You're Kelly.
Oh.
Yeah. I think I'd make it to the merge. I'm not hated enough to get immediately voted out. I'm not enough of a physical threat that I'd immediately be. I guess early on, you get carried along. I think I'm good enough. I would perform well enough in challenges. They wouldn't want to get rid of me. But I'm not a good liar. I want to people please. I'd immediately get caught double timing everyone.
Sure.
Somebody would get pissed and off I go to have my quesadilla and lobster and wine. And
is that Ponderosa? Quesadilla, lobster? You've heard that?
No, like all of those things.
Okay.
They don't do Ponderosa YouTubes anymore. But when they did, everybody would order like 10 things on the menu and eat them
all. I would die to see them. I'm seeing the chemistry right now of our jurors. Like they're getting a lot of airtime during the tribals. And I'm like, give me that show. Like I want to see because they're like
good. I don't know why they stopped doing it because it would be this amazing, like they get voted off. They go to the tent with Dr. Joe. They get weighed. They see how much weight they lost.
Dr. Joe's
see
themselves. Hot.
Yeah. They see themselves in the mirror for the first time and they do this like weird
that's why
body dysmorphia moment.
That's why.
Yeah.
Because we're in woke days and like we're not doing the mirror thing anymore. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
also probably because there's no longer like sponsored by Samsung or like Charmin or like they just don't have anyone.
Wait. Speaking of sponsorships, in the one I just watched, I think it was Pearl Islands. One of the guys just like won a car and he came in like fifth. I was like, what the fuck is this?
I want to talk to you about this because one of the things I said when we were watching last night's episode was, is there a curse for the person who wins the ultimate sanctuary overnight? And I was Googling Survivor curses, and there is a car curse, which they used to gift people a car, but the person who won the car never actually won the whole season.
Wow. I'm kind of glad it happened that way, though. They don't need $1 million and a car.
No.
Well, except one person did. Then they broke the curse.
So it's not a curse.
So then it's not a curse.
Yeah. No. But it was.
Okay, wait. Okay, let's bring it to episode 10 because this was an excellent episode, I thought. It was the best one of the season, for sure. It was the one of the best in the new era. I, again, haven't seen 42, but 41, 43, 44, 45. This was my favorite, probably, because I was laughing. We were welling up. We had our Survivor thing last night. We were all many drinks deep. So I definitely had to do a rewatch today because there were some things I missed.
I as well.
But we were fully enjoying it. Margaret, what did you think of the episode?
Loved. Loved. Yeah. I think back when they were hyping up the premiere, like season 45, such a big deal, they were taking out like an insane amount of commercial space on like big network stuff, more than I typically saw. It seemed like they were going hard in the paint for this season. And then the first episode aired and it was crickets.
Yeah.
Like very kitschy. Everybody was kind of a caricature. I didn't like the vibe of any of them.
Yeah, we've been calling it Survivor drag.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly that. It fell so flat. And then slowly but surely, it's become like not only a redemption arc season, but like individuals are having redemption arcs in real time. Like Emily was the first, obviously, went from who the hell is this girl to her having that moment with Caleb where she clicked into being a human from a robot. And that was amazing. Yeah. And it's just gotten better and better and better for her. Bruce has been my most hated person. And then he, all of a sudden, I kind of started to feel for him this episode. Don't get me wrong. I'm not rooting for him, but they've managed to make me invested in everyone. And that is not something that I saw coming. And this episode really, I learned everyone's names fully this episode, if that makes
sense.
Like I've known their names, but I can rattle them off now, you know?
Sure.
You get to that point in any reality show where it's not like, oh, the one who fill in the blank, and then you can piece it together. Maybe it's because they have them in the opening credits again. which is
could be.
Yes. I think for Jewel and I, since we have this podcast, we have to know their names.
True.
We have to learn real fast. And in episode one, I was referencing. I'm like, who the fuck are these people? And then obviously some stick, some don't. But yeah, I get it. I get what you're saying. Because there's been seasons I've binged where I'm like, the first 10 episodes, I'm like, I don't actually know anyone's name. So I'm like, that blonde girl, that brunette boy.
Yeah.
You know, certainly this that annoying person, et cetera.
We're solidified now. We're at that point in the season. And I care about, care is the wrong word. I don't care about all of them. But I'm invested in every storyline in some capacity. I have feelings about all of them now, which I didn't before this.
We got a lot of new backstory, too. Like, I feel like for a while we were not. Julie was just kind of along for the ride. Mama J. Keturah was just kind of there. They weren't getting a lot of airtime. And we got a Keturah heavy episode, which I was here for.
Really tough when I was making notes on my phone and the spell check never wanted to land on Keturah and kept doing other things. I spent half my time retyping her name, but I got it in there a lot. She's got a lot of good
as she
stuff
deserves.
This
so, yeah. I was going to say at the beginning of this episode, after the credits scene or whatever, the opening, whatever that's called, scene,
opening credits.
The Mama J moment of her crying and just being so the game taking a toll on her. I was like, this is the most sincere moment of the entire series. I needed more of this. And then it just kept happening and happening and happening. Okay. And I was like, why are they all bunched in this episode? Like, why couldn't we have spread some of this out? It just made this episode excellent, but it was like, I feel like you said, haven't gotten to know them until this episode.
Right.
So upon second rewatch, I took it upon myself to do a cry count.
Oh, yes. Let's
So I'm going to test you guys. I'm going to ask you, who do you think in this episode cried the most? And Jake. And I'm talking like individual instances, like scenes.
I feel like Mama J.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's
okay. I'm gonna go Mama J.
I'm going Keturah.
Okay. Coming in with 1, 2, 3, 4 separate tearful events. Mama J.
Okay. Makes sense. And they were all good. I love Mama J. And we'll talk strategy at the end with what they should have done or if what Emily did was the right move. But I was going to be really sad if Mama J went home this episode, even though strategically they should have went after one of the Rebas probably.
Yeah.
Mama J is my winner pick. I think Mama J, when I watched some seasons, like, okay, Token Chains, which I just started and Julia's watching as well. Margaret's seen it. The old crazy lady in the first episode, who's Sandy, I think her name is.
Yeah.
I look at her as like, she's an older woman. She's maybe a liability in challenges. Mama J, I do not look at that way. Even though she's, her and Bruce are the oldest people. They're two of the strongest people.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's wild.
I love her. She's excellent.
Yeah. So big episode for tears. That might be my fixation. Just like everybody crying. There are two people who did not cry.
Give us the counts. Just rip them.
Okay. The counts are with 4 at the highest cry count is Mama J. Coming in next with 3 cry count is Keturah, followed by 2 cry count, a 4-way tie between Drew, D, Emily, and Jake. And with a cry count of 0, Austin and Bruce.
The quivering lips in this episode.
Bruce didn't cry, but he didn't. He was just feeling it hard.
Yeah. No, it's sociopathic behavior.
Yes. But
actually, Jake gave me a little bit more sociopath because I feel like he was looking around being like, I'm supposed to cry now.
Okay. No, that is what happened in the reward challenge. When Emily was one by one picking people, everyone was like, okay, ham it up. I got to cry. Yes. Where's the tears? Because they wanted
also hard. D was giving me that too.
Yes. Drew was faking it fully.
100%. Wait.
Drew, I disagree.
When she was picking for the reward challenge,
I think they were forcing.
It was just like
tears.
All of a sudden he was crying, and then they cut to her like, "You have one more pick," and I was like, "They're the editing. They tried to do him dirty with that like, look,
these people are Survivor stands. They know that she's going to pick 3 people to come, so they're all
for sure
sobbing for it. Which I believe me, if you get to sleep somewhere, pillow, blanket, and." Let's just talk about how Jeff made it seem like he was teeing it up for more rewards, like something. And then he just pauses and everyone was like, oh,
I hated that.
It was so anticlimactic and weird.
It was so weird. The like cadence, he like ended on a like
up
and a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, uh-huh. And then he was like, that's it.
That's it.
Oh, good. Okay. Jeff. Next.
Great episode for Jeff.
Good Jeff episode, which are
rare
between. I'm either completely indifferent to him or he makes me mad. So this was a good one because the Keturah moment was good when with the water and stuff. But okay, let's talk about, and I'm gonna throw it to you guys for this, Bruce lying about his idol, saying he gave it to Kelly. What do we think? Was that good? Was that
it
ever
was an
going to
episode
land?
Episode too late.
Yeah.
Like he totally missed his chance to make that stick. Terrible decision in going to Keturah with it. The girl hates him. Why did he think that was his, let me test this out and she's my trusted friend? I get he's got a warped view of himself and he thinks everybody likes him and they don't. Yes. But that was wild. And he was just so late with it. I think there was no chance anyone believed it. But then Jake did, which was also crazy
to
me.
So did the boys. When Jake told Drew and Austin, they were like, everyone on the boy beach was like, let's fucking ride.
The boys?
Yeah.
The boys, when they found out from Jake, it's more understandable because maybe Jake's been sitting on this. Maybe this is just like, oh, this information's coming to me now because it's important. Jake, idiot. Love you.
That's fair.
Idiot.
That's
but
fair.
But to be fair, Bruce made the decision to actually tell Jake and lie to him and have him be the one with loose lips tell everyone. Like he
that
Bruce
was smart.
Aware enough of that.
He just it was never gonna work. And then the fact that by the end of the episode, it was just fully a joke and even Bruce knew nobody believed him was just silly.
So good. It made for great television. I was here for it. I was like, thank you, Bruce. Like, try something, try anything. I love to Keturah. Bruce, like, trying to explain what he was doing and being like, you feel me? And Keturah was like, no, I don't. I was like, yes.
That was excellent. That was
for the audience. It was so good. It was way too late, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Margaret, I want to know, since you weeped at Emily winning at the auction, getting the cheese board, etc. Tell me about how you felt about her face when she won this reward challenge.
Tell me you didn't cry.
We were welling up.
That was one of the more emotional moments I've ever seen from a win. Obviously, people have this like euphoric release. People get really emotional. They get overwhelmed. I never thought I would win. I always wanted this is my dream, blah, blah, blah. That is the most viscerally I have seen it painted across someone's face. Mm-hmm. And her arm, her whole body just convulsing. Oh. It was heartbreaking and heartwarming all at the same time. And I loved it so much. And I cried again.
Of course. The reaction of it too is so interesting you say that, because I feel like most times people like throw the thing and they jump up in the air and they scream. Like we saw Austin upon his win, like do a backflip off of the dock into the water. But her reaction was like she was still clinging onto it and shaking in a way that was like she did not want this ball to drop in case maybe they made a mistake. Like it was like that much disbelief that she's like, I'm frozen. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful moment.
Absolutely. I love her.
Agreed. And the honestly, if you gun to my head, if you were to say Emily wins, who's she taking to Sanctuary? I would not say Ladies Night because really the Ladies Night wasn't really anything strategic to me. They all they're just getting another non-rebound at the end of the day. So this was truly like felt like a friendship thing. But I don't think they're showing that to us as much as I would like for having 90 minute episodes. So I was pumped about Ladies Night, especially for what it gave us with the boys camp and the girls camp. I thought that the editing was the best some of the best I've seen. We were cackling. Excellent. But would you guys have thought Girls Night?
No. And what I noted was when Emily won, she said on the way here, everyone was telling her, like, we'll take you. You haven't been to the sanctuary. Like, we got you. And she was so proud that she did it for herself.
Yeah.
They never show us that. So I wonder if it was like the girls were the ones saying that to her. So she felt like they were looking out for me. Let me repay the favor. But she then also said like as she was planning on it anyway. So I'm not really sure. It feels like there's more going on behind the scenes than we're getting in the edits. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. But that was one thing that I noted. I wish they had shown us that piece.
Yeah.
It just made it made for such great book ending of or like flipping between the two. The like cross cuts were so good. Like them drinking wine and Emily's like in her talking heads, just holding a glass of sangria. Like it was perfect. It was so good.
Massive. That was so great.
Yeah. And then like over to the guys, which like let's have a moment for the boys edit because oh my god, it was genius.
The music.
Yes.
They never do stuff like that. It made it was me so happy. Good.
They had to pay for that song. Like they were like, yes, shell out. Let's buy the rights to a Kenny Loggins song because
Billy,
this makes it
goofy fun. I wrote down because I loved it so much. What did Drew say about hold on? I'll find it. He said something about observing masculinity from an anthropological distance. That's
yes,
what it
was. Of course.
And it was, and oh, then they cut to him just being the praying mantis version of flexing. It was perfect.
He's like, I've never broed out. And it's like, what? We couldn't tell. What do you mean?
Just saying like their version of broing out was like, yeah, bacon's pretty good.
Oh my God. The cuts were, the smash cuts to them like high-fiving, burping, walking around in flippers. I was like, you guys are getting clowned on so hard in the best, like most endearing, most charming way that like, what's wrong with me that I think that this is cute? I don't know. Something's wrong with our society that this is cute.
It's amazing.
Me, but it was cute.
It was very Little Rascals slumber party scene where they cut back and forth and they're like giggling and gossiping, boogers and bugs. And they just go back and forth about what the other party's doing. And it's exactly that, just so wholesome and silly. And like the girls are crying and reading letters from home, drinking sangria. And the boys are trying to be boys when really like Bruce is the only stereotypically masculine guy in the bunch.
Oh my God.
And the rest of them are just like, yeah.
So good. That's an amazing comparison.
Thank you.
Amazing.
I love that movie.
Back to the girls' day. So Keturah ratting Bruce out immediately. Thoughts because everyone is playing. There's almost no one playing anything tight to the vest in this. Everyone
except for Jake when he said, no, I'm not telling you information. Love that. We'll get to it.
Yeah. Emily has been telling everyone everything. As soon as like Drew's name comes up, she's like, your name came up. As soon as Jake's name came up, name came up. Bruce is like, she's like, Bruce, Mama J is not with you.
Doesn't like
you. I'm like, what is she playing at? She's just like, building favor for a jury or something.
I
like,
think that's her
play.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said it too.
Like, I know this isn't going to change things for you, but I want them to know that I tried to help them figure it out for themselves. And even has, who was it, Caleb, that she still voted for him, even though he was her closest ally. It was like, well, I'm going
to
do it anyway because this is
ties.
The best for my game. Yeah. I love that, about
smart.
Her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some of it is a mix of her robot analytical version that is saying, I need to do this because this is the truth and this is the calculated way to win the game. And in a warped way, I think it is trying to be more human. Like she said, I want to talk to Jake like a human.
You're
not, but I love that this is what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And you're making a conscious effort. She's just not doing it 100% as a human would.
Yeah. I said earlier that she speaks in ones and zeros. She only knows ones and zeros.
And then she didn't know math. That was the twist of the century.
That was.
She was on the she short-circuited.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about the family letters because I really genuinely felt like all the letters were like really sweet and like sad and whatever. But then Emily's didn't quite hit for me when she just like bought a house together.
Yeah.
Maybe I do want to be a wife.
Oh, I did like, wait, I did like that.
Okay,
I like
that too.
It was just so out of left field.
I know. But her with the wine and what was the boyfriend's name? Beautiful. I don't know. Her being like, maybe Drew? Emily is in love. Drew? Was it Basile? I loved it. I thought it was so. I mean, that she is a human. I do agree that it's a little bit silly when it's like standing next to
Keturah's mom.
Keturah's mom. Story.
Mama J.
Mama J's like divorce and the letter from her brother and D like immigrant story. It's like it falls a little short, but like, I don't know.
But
I just
still
love Emily. So.
I love her. What was the line Mama J's brother said? Like, freshly divorced, two little kids, and you needed a hero, so you became one?
Yeah, I know.
Cry count, two for me.
Two for Margaret's winning the cry count.
The episode.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, The scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped. Streaming June 4th. Only on Hulu.
Dang. Yay.
Wait, yeah. Okay, I'm just going to poll you guys right now. Who's your winner pick of this? We have seven left. Who would you, if you could pick right now, who would you want to win?
I want Emily to win.
Emily.
I don't think she will. I want her to.
Mama J or Emily would be amazing wins for me. I wouldn't mind D. I wouldn't mind any of the girls right now. I don't think Keturah has the votes. I don't know that she would ever win. So it would have to be Emily, D, or Mama J. And I think that the three of them played a good game. I don't feel like emotionally connected to D like I do Mama J and Emily, but yeah. I don't want any of the boys to win. None of the boys.
No, I used to want Drew.
I'd be okay with Jake winning.
Oh, that
but
would
I don't.
Crazy.
It would be insane if he made it that far.
I didn't even think
but
that was an option.
Hanging on by the skin of his teeth. And the fact that they didn't take one of the Rebas out means he doesn't have a chance. But he made it so much longer than he should have already. Sure. And so I think if he was able to pull off a couple more, he'd be able to coast into the finale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Emily's who I would want. I still think Drew is getting a really strong edit.
Yeah.
So I would not be surprised if it shakes that way.
I just don't like that no one is even realizing how big of a threat Austin and Drew are.
I know.
D's name's been thrown out. Mama J's name's been thrown out now. But not ever Austin and Drew. They could have, those four non-Rebas could have got any of those boys out. No one was playing an idol. And they did split a 3-1 Bruce to that. So if the four of those people just voted for anybody else.
Yeah.
The only
Jake tried with Drew and that had the mobster conversation where Drew, which I kind of loved. I didn't love the conversation. I love that it happened because we'd never see somebody confronting someone like, why the hell did you do that? And Jake was just like, why me always? It's always me. So I don't care. Yeah. What do I have to lose? And picking their teeth.
Oh, the picks are so insane.
So
Drew
stupid.
He was not quick on his. I mean, for as articulate as he's been as like our narrator of the season, him in that moment being like, why me? Who? Like he had nothing else to say, but like who, what, where, when, why? And Jake was like, okay.
I will say Jake saying like, oh, hearing your name, not good for you. Like hearing your name sucks. What about me? Like,
yeah.
And it's funny because Jake started this episode literally one of the first lines being like, I have life in this game. I'm going to be a player. I'm not a pawn anymore. And then the whole episode, he's just the pawn. He's sobbing at the end. Like, I felt at least he was in the know on this vote. He was in the know.
Yeah.
But when he was crying on the beach and Keturah came up and kind of comforted him, and then Bruce came up and was like, this is what they call the survivor wall. I was there 4 days ago. Bruce, you're shooting yourself with a
foot. Wait, I liked that too.
I liked it, but it took Bruce from somewhat likable to like, he's learned nothing. Here he is. Like, I'm the guy. I've been through it all. Even though
you're right.
That, you know, I was there 4 days ago. You got this. You got to get through. Like, no.
Yeah, that's,
love you.
That's true.
Bruce can't help but to like old man splain somebody.
Exactly.
Like
when I was in the Navy,
when he was talking to Jake originally saying like, okay, look at my hands. This person is it. And I was like, stop talking to people like that. It pisses people. It was pissing me off.
Yeah.
In a decently good Bruce episode and last episode because he was sad Bruce, which way more palatable when he's sad. But this episode when he was doing the hand things and he's always, there was a scene in an earlier episode when he's talking to Kelly, when he's just like, okay, stop. Like, listen, like, kind of like, listen to me. And I'm like, let her speak, please. You don't know everything. You need to absorb. He doesn't do any strategizing at all.
We don't have to talk about him any longer at all.
It's true.
This is
pretty good.
Let's talk about how the jury is going to interact with him now because he's coming to Ponderosa. They all hate him. They were rooting for him.
Kelly hates him.
They were hooting and hollering.
That's
tough.
It's tough.
That's the Ponderosa episode I want to watch.
Same.
Oh, give me that.
But I also just, I don't understand why they targeted him so hard. It's one thing if you're annoyed by someone and don't want to be on the beach with them, but he was never going to get people's votes. So why are you like, oh, we got to get Bruce out. We got to get Bruce out. Every single one of you hates him. So there is no way that if he makes it any further, he is a threat to your game, whereas everyone else sitting next to you is. So why was he the guy that we're gunning for? It's just poor strategy. I do think Emily maybe made a case for herself in being the one to get him to not play his idol. Yes, because that's what everyone wanted. But is that what's best for her game? I don't think so.
I mean, is it best for her game? She's straddling this strange space right now where she's hanging onto her alliance with Austin and Drew. She's being very truthful. She's being very honest. And she's, I don't want to call it confrontational, but she's like telling people when she catches wind of something that's going to like shake up what everyone else thinks is happening. In the same token, though, she's saying like, I can't do this move that you're trying to ask me to do because I'm in a good spot right now. And I don't want to, like, if I come back to this beach, she said it about trying to vote out Drew or D and trying to vote out Mama J. It's like, if this doesn't work and I come back to the beach, my entire, everything I've worked for is gone. So she's trying to like make a move that seems and feels big and like leaves enough of a ripple. Like it has some weight to it in this, like, Bruce, we've been trying to get him out. We've been trying to get him out. We finally got him out with an idol in his pocket. Huge.
Yeah.
As a move, but also doesn't shake up her shit too much with the relationship she's established with the Reba players.
True. But the Reba players are just going to steamroll her now.
Yeah.
I think they're going to turn.
This was the last chance.
Well, do you watch any of the next week ons?
All I took away was the weird flirting, which can we talk about that?
Oh, for sure.
Wait, which was that last week's this week on or this
week? They were like laying on the beach, looking up in the dark and being like, this is everything I've ever wanted or something like
that. It looks like next week is a big D Austin love fest. No.
Oh,
am I thinking of last week's?
I didn't watch it again. I only remember that there may be some espionage within Reba,
some mutiny.
Yeah. Thank you. I can't think of words.
The Austin D thing isn't sticking with me. I can't buy in.
No.
No.
About anything other than strategizing. They need to speak about feelings if there's feelings.
But then they'll cut to his face at Tribal and he's lurking like that Hey Arnold, like nose or mouth breather. Yeah, thank you. He's just staring at her, like smirking in such a creepy way anytime she says anything. So like he's clearly in love with her. I have not seen any of her being reciprocal. But then Kendra last episode was like, I think they're going to get married after this.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, she's on her own planet over there.
She
looks little Kendra. Tribal.
By the way, have you guys talked about this?
When I reread the bio when she sent the email today, I was like, 26?
Yeah, what?
4 years on Kendra?
Ew. I love when somebody has their first jury appearance and it's like, oh my God, look at them looking different. And she looked the same.
That's funny because I was like, she looks great.
Oh, I thought she looked like she has the whole time.
Yeah, I kind of think
I don't think she's a makeup gal and I don't think she's like doing herself up. So that's why. But it wasn't the same like, whoa, that I typically get with someone.
But I will say this season we've been talking about, at least live, like why did all their hair look so good? I'm like, these people don't look disgusting, really. Emily's the only one that kind of looks disgusting because her yellow mock neck is just full of
mustard.
Yeah, it's dirty.
Why would they do that to her?
She did it to herself.
But yellow is bad.
But apparently they make them submit a couple different iterations. And if it doesn't fit the vibe of what they want you to be character-wise, they make you keep sending stuff until something fits.
Like, I love nerds. That one passed.
Who was it a couple seasons ago that had that massive orange ostrich t-shirt?
I don't know. That might have been 42 because I've never seen that.
What was his name? It might have been 42. It was a him in this massive like tie-dye shirt with a giant ostrich with bug eyes on it.
Oh God, that's gonna get old real quick.
Okay, let's get back on track. What do we want to talk about the
we haven't talked
challenge?
About the challenge at all.
Yeah, let's go challenge.
I mean,
A, Yeah, that was heartbreaking to watch. I felt really bad for her. And she just seemed so disappointed in herself. Usually, like, there have been people in the past who are not strong swimmers and have issues with being in the water, and that's a storyline for them. This came out of left field for me, and I think for her too. She seemed so surprised that she couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And I just, my heart broke for her.
Mm-hmm.
But also the fact that she apologized to everyone as she bowed out, and then maybe it was Mama J, one of the other girls, maybe it was D, somebody else said sorry as they felt. I'm like, why are you apologizing to everyone? They are pumped that you are giving up.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of giving up, I feel like Bruce gave up at the end.
Really?
Kind of do. He made a whole show of having the double-edged sword of being the winner and how he doesn't necessarily love having the immunity necklace. And he kind of just seemed like he just shrugged and slid off at the end. It was an interesting one.
Yeah.
We did say that. We said that last night. We were like, he has the idol. I feel like he was just like, I don't feel like doing this anymore. Like, he was probably really struggling.
Oh,
it wasn't just like a... It reminds me of the Parvati, and I always forget her name, in Heroes Villains, when they were doing the pole challenge, and the other girl, her like bestie girl, was like, girl, you're safe. I'm not. Let me win.
Yeah.
And Parvati was just like, okay, but no one else could hear their conversation. So that everyone was like, she just drop on Bruce.
Just like hop down. Yeah.
Bruce was not like that.
No.
It was very much like he was struggling and was probably like, I have the idol. And yet, but he did not play it, which is the craziest thing that ever happened.
I really think
have we seen this challenge?
No.
I liked it. I looked
tough.
I liked
it too. The fact that they could use their heels to scoot back up, though, felt like cheating.
When they went straight legged?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Agreed.
Oh, when that's true.
But they kept doing it. Like, if you just do it longer and more frequently, like, are they policing how many milliseconds your heel is on the board?
Yeah.
No, of course.
D almost didn't
make
the transition.
Yeah.
That was tricky. That was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about Jeff saying that it was like you're at a carnival eating a scone?
Scone? What the hell, Jeff? He is not engaged with
the man's never been to a carnival.
No, he's not. He doesn't know.
No.
No thing.
For the reality show king, he doesn't know reality.
No.
That is so true.
Wild.
Like popcorn, funnel cake. A scone. He's going to like British carnivals.
Also, why didn't production cut that?
Like,
they didn't need to have that. No. Secondary piece. They could have said, you're at a carnival cut.
Yeah,
and then Jake say, what kind of carnivals are you going to?
Yeah.
The fact that they kept in him saying, eating a scone. Are
Jake
they all
final
well
edit? So I feel like he might not know how stupid that is.
That's true. That's a good point.
Really?
And everyone's scared of him in the editing room and they don't tell him.
They're like, yes, daddy.
He's a monster. Yes, daddy.
He was not a monster in this episode. And honestly, I was kind of mad about it. It's funny that you say, like, at my last job, I used to say when we would like go out to dinners and stuff with like for just like team things, I'd say like, oh, my ideal. Like someone was like, you never look the waiters in the eye. And I was like, my ideal service is like they're just floating in and out and they're like pretty. Not like I'm here to enjoy your company. Like I don't need to be like the wait. Well, the worst is when a waiter sits down and is like,
"I know
how
that
you
about
doing."
You.
Yes, you do know that about me. I feel like this is Jeff. This is who Jeff should be. He is the waiter. He is like escorting us from the lobby to the next challenge to tribal council. And I don't need him to be his own character in this story.
Fair.
You're like young children are seen, not heard.
Jeff, take a seat, please. The adults are speaking here. That's how I feel about Jeff.
Okay. All right. So Austin wins immunity. Fine. Now that Bruce is out, I feel like winning immunity is anyone's game. I don't think anyone has a more athletic, like, truly, I feel like all of these people are pretty even. There may be some like weaker ones where Emily was out pretty early, but if it's like a general challenge, it's anyone's game, really. Austin and Drew aren't like super strong people. Neither is Jake. So we don't have the like boy girl problem where there's like a massive meathead winning all the challenges because they're so strong, which I've seen before in different challenges. So that's fine. Let's just talk strategy. Let's talk what they did in the end, the tribal, the final vote. Emily kind of telling everybody everything and pioneering this vote. I really drunken me was like, we're getting Mama J out. This is kind of sad, but also sick.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Emily's like, but we're getting Bruce out in the talking head. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
But didn't you love that? Didn't you love that she was an orchestrating like the whole?
I yes. do. And I think it's something to talk about in Final Tribal for her if she makes it. But
it would have been just it would have been a bigger thing for her to say, I orchestrated the takedown of Mama J.
But then where does that leave her with Drew?
It doesn't leave her in a good spot with Drew, but she's got other allies. I think it flips the whole game. So Reba is not in control anymore.
Yeah.
And then things could have gotten crazy. You've got Jake, you've got theoretically Bruce, like you have people who are now ready and willing to work together as their own little pod to take down the Rebas who mm-hmm. think they're coasting to the end. And right now they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Emily does not fare well in chaos though. I think,
true.
And yes. maybe they've been saying this too, but like predictability is wanted to some degree, right? Like, you know how people are going to vote. Like people say like, oh, so-and-so's a wild card, get rid of them. Like you want predictability to some extent. So I kind of do see why, yes, it would have been a bigger move and like more exciting for us if she had rocked up the Reba 4. But she had been saying too, like, I'm in a good place. This doesn't leave me in a, like, that's not going to better my game when we get back to the beach after tribal. And I feel like this was just an equally big move that is going to be respected and like appreciated by the people, but rather than being burned.
People hate Bruce. So her saying, I'm the one who got Bruce out with an idol in his pocket will, for this 45 group, holds more weight than it would to us. But there is something about Emily calling Bruce out first day, first second of the show, calling his ass out and then gaining his trust enough to make him not play the idol is phenomenal. I just think that Bruce was going to be out at some point anyway. So no one's voting for Bruce. We've already talked about this. So, I mean, it's fine. I think it's a good move for Emily. No one is mad at her. And they got a player out. They want it out. So I think I'm fine with it. And I think next episode, there's going to be an internal struggle within Reba. I think the thing is like Drew wants to get Mama J out or something. Maybe D.
I think they were saying Julie.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I think Mama J is going to be like, okay, fuck off and go with the other crew. I think at that point, as long as it's not getting D out, I think Mama J will turn on Austin or Drew. I don't think they care about that.
Do you think that scene of them on the beach was the foreshadowing then? With them crying, being like, we have to turn on each other at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think
that.
That when Mama J said, was it this episode or last, about how she will never turn on D?
Last.
I meant to say, you gotta.
Yes,
you gotta, some point.
Can't take D.
Because you know the two of you have the same game.
Yes.
This is the classic survivor struggle. You can't bring your closest ally because you cannot differentiate yourself. And so you're either going to split votes or you're going to end up having to backstab or get backstabbed. You can't trust these people.
Yep.
That was cute when they were in the sanctuary, when they said, like, it doesn't feel like a game. I think Emily said it. Mm-hmm. She's like, I know I'm playing a game, but it doesn't feel like a game. Seeing that like emotional side of everyone mm-hmm. is very sweet. So I guess this crew seems to be much more camaraderie focused than a lot of seasons. Like there isn't.
Totally.
A lot of people care about each other and they're mm-hmm. making it known that they care about each other.
Oh,
they
yeah.
won't stop talking about how much they care about each other.
I think that took a bit though.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you don't see this in every season.
Yeah. I mean, Reba and Emily care about it. There's caring in there. Jake, I don't know. Bruce, no. Katora, not until this episode because she's one of the girls now. So the Reba crew, but I still don't know if I'm buying it as much. They're saying it, but am I buying what they're selling? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know.
Fair.
Anything else in your notes for this episode before we get into our token chains discussion?
Oh,
please.
Yeah.
Oh, Emily's a lefty. That's a note I took. They showed her pick up her pen to write her vote, and I clocked her as a lefty, which adds to her allure for me.
Oh,
there's something different and interesting and mysterious other about her. Mm-hmm. And I really want her to succeed. More presidents are lefties than any other. Yeah.
Whoa, that's
weird. Misquoting this stat, but it's a you are more likely to be president if you're a lefty than if you're a righty.
Okay.
I believe it.
So I'm only for president. That's my final note.
What else do I have?
My final note is when they were in the reward challenge and they they were doing the maze with the ball and everyone was just doing like crazy things with their arms. Jake was like not even close to having any sort of sweetness to this challenge. He was just like drumming. He was doing huge bongo drums instead of fucking
the man has it's just, no like,
brute force. Yeah. It's exactly. Just like, let me come at this with muscle.
Multiple people, all the boys. None of the boys had it.
You were calling them no strings attached.
Yeah, I was. The NSYNC. Yeah.
Jake is borderline cheating in so many challenges. Like he kept bending his arm in the one that Jeff kept calling him out on. Was it last week they had to do the balance beam thing and he was kind of holding it like to his chest, like instead of out in front of him? And then this one, it wasn't cheating. It was just
silly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The man, he's not good with the fine motor skills.
No.
No, his feet are disgusting as well.
The feet, enough feet.
The feet were so bad.
I will say, I was looking at crotches, not feet. I couldn't help it. The way they were shooting, it was
sicko.
Like their heels were touching their crotch and it was all one shot. Eye level to the crotch. I couldn't help it. Sorry.
I mean, it's a carrot dangled in front of you. I don't have any other notes other than I feel like my fixation for across the season is dogs.
What? Hmm?
Dogs.
Like
dogs. I'll tell you why. The animal?
Dogs, the animal.
Okay, go on.
Dogs and specifically Jake and dogs. Because we're talking dog pile vote at the beginning of this episode. At one point, no, last episode, Jake goes like, I'm just being like a dog to these guys. Mm-hmm. Like, well, puppy, like, you know, what can I do? What can I get you? Blah, blah, blah. He calls himself at the top of this episode a dead dog. Mm. And then Drew and Austin call him a puppy dog.
Okay.
So, you know what? Fans, write in if you think there's a dog conspiracy theory going on. Something's up here to me.
Conspiracy.
I don't know what my fixation is. I guess I'll just pick the boys camp.
Boys.
That's it. I mean, it was amazing. Phenomenal. I would rewatch that scene anytime. They're disgusting. I would rather die than be on that camp, but it was hilarious to watch.
Drew says he hasn't farted in 18 days.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's my nightmare. I hate
it. And then was it Bruce that just ripped one right after he said it? Or Austin?
And he could not give two poops about that.
Ew, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. I hate that.
Just say shit, man. Yeah, just say it.
My fixation, we already talked about, was Emily holding the goblet in her talking head. Just like queen of the world. It was a beautiful shot.
Because you know she was like, can I bring this? Can I bring this with?
Oh, totally. Like, yeah. Also, I couldn't tell if it was sangria or wine because she was saying sangria at some point, but then later Katura was like, I'm going to finish this wine.
Probably sangria. I don't know. If someone was being more specific, I feel like sangria is wine, but wine is not sangria. So if someone said sangria, it's probably sangria.
Yeah. Good point.
It's the box and a rectangle of it all, you know?
Whoa. Margaret, if we were in the era where they brought in a loved one to not just see you, but like, help you compete in a challenge, who would you bring?
It's my friend Matt. He was my reconnection to the game. He was on my volleyball team. He was part of this crew that brought me back. And he would be, to be fair, I made a pact with him long ago that he would be my person. And when I hosted my own Survivor, he was one of my strong alliances pre the game, as was my friend Steve. That was my fatal flaw. I was hoping the three of us would be in it together. They were against each other. I owe it to him. He brought me back into the fold, and it's Matt.
What would James, your husband, say?
James? He can't hear me. I think he would not love that, but you got to do what you got to do. It's a game of loyalty, of strategy. Like James wouldn't be a good strategic motivator for me. It would just be like, oh, I love you so much. Matt would come in and be like, tell me everything. Here's what you got to do.
Ooh, like you want him as like a phone, not like some people look at it as like, okay, I want like love and like I miss home. But you're like, I'm phoning a friend. Here's the play. Here's what the beach looks like today. What are my moves?
And it's also, if I were to be the one of our crew of people who have applied, I haven't applied, but if I were to apply and get on, I owe it to the guys who applied every season to say, okay. Come to Fiji.
Get on here.
Have your moment. Meet Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Like, I'm not winning. I know I'm not winning. Like I said at the beginning of this episode, I am first on the jury. So I might as well.
It's not a bad spot.
Yeah. It's a great spot. It's an amazing month-long vacation in Fiji.
Yeah.
Love it. Give me as much of the free food and booze on the tail end. If I'm not getting $1 million, which I'm not, then I want as much time at Ponderosa as I can. So this is all to say, I'm repaying the favor for the person who brought me back in and cares the most about the game. James, I think he'd be okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's amazing. Matt, if you're listening, we love you.
I'd bring my dad.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You guys would be like, let's have a catch.
Alex, if you're listening to this, stop.
Stop right now.
Would you bring Marnie?
I'll bring Marnie. Oh my God, she would be so scared.
Speaking
I would
of be dogs.
Tie between. Yeah, she would unlock the dog conspiracy. She'd show up on the island and like a pack of dogs, like 1,000 dogs would show up.
All the contestants would turn dogs.
Jake did also say there was a full moon. So I don't know. Okay. I think he might be a werewolf. That's my new bit.
Tinfoil hat. Right on my
head. Okay. I would be between my sister and Peter, my husband, Marcus' brother. Yeah.
How could you not bring Caroline? I feel like it has to be Caroline.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to call you, Jewel, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. It's between my dad and you. And Alex, but
and me. Why would neither of you bring me?
Oh God! Well,
you're not bringing. We're not even fourth, fifth, us. Sixth, or seventh.
No, you're not. Love you both so much. You're not.
Damn it. Caroline would be like. I think she would help me from like a phone a friend strategic standpoint. But if we're going and we're in the challenge, like Peter's going to be doing like.
That's true. Sometimes they make you compete with your person. That wasn't always the case.
And he would also like eat the weirds. Like he would be like, oh, fine. I'll eat the weirds.
So true. Yeah. They don't do eating stuff anymore. They should.
No.
They
should. Okay. So this all kind of brings me, because you've also been talking a lot about Fiji, and I would love to just pause to speak about Survivor Token Jeans, because I crushed the entire season in the past week. I have like two or three episodes left. But one of the things, and I have kind of a list of things that I'm like, bring this back. Why aren't we doing this? I love this so much. And here they are. One, I love seeing seasons in different places. I understand from a financial standpoint, like they own this island in Fiji, like, or whatever. They're just going to keep doing it at Fiji. But I'm getting kind of bored of Fiji.
Yeah, same.
Is that okay?
And that is totally okay. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm watching them go around in token jeans, and I'm loving getting to explore, like, their little fishing hole and, like, their exile island and, like, their sand dunes. And their tree mail is in, like, this different spot. I just, it's giving me satisfying more wanderlust than the Fiji seasons have been, because I'm now just like, oh, they're just, like, on a set, it feels like.
Okay, yeah, I feel that. Right? In Token Jeans, it's like, okay, they drop you in the middle of all these bushes and they're like, 4-hour walk, get to go. It's crazy. Yeah. There's way more of like, I'll keep bringing up, Pearl Islands was excellent how they made them. The twist was like, go barter for shit in a different language that you don't know. Go barter. Like Sandra was like fucking crushing it. But it's just cool that there's like a twist in the beginning that really... Like they say in Token Jeans, this is no spoiler alert. This is like the first 20 minutes. Some get to walk, some don't. And it's like the people that walked already have a bond. They're like, we just suffered for 4 hours straight.
The other people fly in a helicopter. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So Yeah, I agree with that.
The other thing is the loved ones. I cried. I welled up during this Emily episode after a couple drinks. I full on sober cried at the loved ones episode in Token Jeans.
Mm.
Yeah, I just always. I mean, it's just so, it's so powerful. It's so cool. And then it's also like so kind of funny because you're seeing people like, I mean, we've watched, is it not Gen X millennials, David Goliath, like Dr. Christian Hubicki bringing his girlfriend and them like not touching. It's I just love seeing yes. the people like who they pick and how they're interacting with them. It's just so funny. Like, Margaret, if you were to bring Matt on this on your loved ones, we'd be like, who are they to one another? Like, what is this?
Yeah, exactly.
It is, you know? Really funny to see because you get a glimpse of someone, you create a person in your brain and like what their world is outside of this and what you stereotype them in all these different ways. And then when somebody from the outside comes in, it just confirms what you thought, or it gives you this whole different, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, that wife is a nerd. You must be a nerd, but you look like a hunk compared to the other guys here. Like, sure, this is throwing everything.
Yeah. I do love like, that. Goggles and are lifted.
Did it just stop in COVID? I can't remember when we stopped bringing them. So, yeah. They've got to bring them back soon. It's such a huge piece.
Well, I don't know, because the other thing too was like, I think, again, financially, they had to fly everybody out and they had to be there for a while because there were like people whose families got flown out to wherever the location was. But then their person mm-hmm. got dropped before the loved ones episode. So they were just
they
like,
used to
there.
Have some Ponderosa reunions there. Ponderosa needs to come back.
Yeah.
At a petition.
We have 90 minutes. Just do a 10 minute thing of the people who got voted out. That'd be excellent. Just they're pissed off. It's raw. That's good TV. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they don't just include that in the damn
or
episode.
Do it as like a, didn't they do it as an online thing? Like,
it was just a yeah. YouTube series, and I watched it as soon as the episode was over. It was yeah. so great. It was a 10 minute watch them go to the island, watch them see everyone eat their first meal, mm-hmm. have their little breakdown, get some inside scoop on what happened that they weren't aware of. And yeah. then you see them the next morning and they have this peaceful, like, here I am in paradise and everything's amazing and I love this game.
It was yeah, great. Except for Kelly. She would not be.
No, Kelly was not.
She would not be. Yeah. So I will say, like, I was really hyped to tell you guys everything about Token Chains because I am adoring it. It's so fun. It's bringing me back to a place where nobody got worried about cancel culture and they just said shit and they yeah. just did mm-hmm. not give two poops about it. sorry, I'm so sorry. Enjoyed this week's episode of Survivor 45 so much that I am going to just say, like, you know, I was very hard on it last week. I've been pretty hard on it yeah. throughout the season. I said I was not having fun, so that's why I turned to Token Chains and I was having a blast. But this week I had a blast. Thank you.
Agreed.
Survivor.
Yeah, agreed. This was a great episode. Margaret, any parting thoughts? Thank you for coming. We will have you back again.
Oh my God.
You were great. You were fabulous. To be back. This is your Thank podcast you. Debut.
It is. No, that's a lie, but I can't tell you what I was on already. It's
so
Tell us
in the after show.
Will do. Parting thoughts. I think, to Julia's point, this is a very exciting way for the season to play out, where I would much rather be disappointed for a while and then it start to pay off as we get later on than a season where things are fun and exciting and then we have like an Alligabler finale that was just like, what? What yeah. did we just do all this for? Yeah. So we'll see how it finishes. I hope it ends well. I feel like the people we have left, there are a lot of good ways this could go in terms of quality television. And so I'm optimistic is how I'm leaving this week.
I love that. Me too. Thanks. That's my final. Her words are my words.
Her words Cosine. Are my words. Cosine, triple sign, howl at the moon.
More hots next season. That's all we'll
more
say.
Hots. I'll more take hots. More hots.
Okay. That'd be nice. That's the episode. Margaret, thanks for joining. Julia, as
oh my God,
for
thank you for having
always
me.
A pleasure. Yeah, follow us at Binchon TV. You'll never miss an episode. We've got tons of things going on. So we'll be back next week for episode 11. There's only 13 episodes of this damn season. So seven people left. You know, episode 13 is usually like they knock out multiple people at mm-hmm. a time. So I guess we'll get to three. That doesn't actually make sense.
Wait,
no, we'll go to 5.
We'll go to 6 to 5 to 4 to 3. Okay, that does make sense. All right.
5 cool. is the finale.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah. So we will be back. Love y'all. We are Binge Town TV, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.